I'd like to welcome everyone back to the Duck Pond Wall, a show here on WEHC where we get to sit down as if we were sitting on the Duck Pond Wall and catch up with an old friend. And I'm your host, Monica Hull, the alumni director at Emory & Henry. And today I'm very excited that our guest is Austin Bunn, Emory & Henry class of 2014. How you doing, Austin?
I'm good, Monica. How are you?
Good. You know, I feel like anytime I talk with anybody in your family, I'm going to get in trouble with a whole bunch of other people, because how many members of your family have gone to Emory & Henry?
You know, I don't exactly know. It's a bunch. Both of my sisters, my youngest, Aaron, is set to graduate in May, and that'll be the last of my siblings. So that'll be three of us. My dad did. Aunt, uncle, grandma, grandpa, my wife, and then I think there's like a great uncle and some other people. Yeah, I'm sure it could go crazier, but there's at least that many.
Well, okay, so the people who have left this mortal coil are not going to get mad that I didn't invite them to do the show, but the rest of them might. So maybe we'll just wait until all of this is out and done before we tell them too much about it. Well, we want to talk to you today because you've kind of made a little shift in what you're doing with your job, and it sounded kind of neat, and I wanted to talk about it. But before we get to start talking about old houses, let's start with what you've been doing. Let's talk about cold beer before we get to old houses. You've been like the Ballad Brewing guy for a long time, right?
Yeah. It's been post-graduation's been really interesting. I'm now in my third career. Basically.
Wow.
And they've all done are necessarily super related, but they've all kind of just like an opportunity presented itself and I just kind of went for it. Started in radio. That was what I wanted to do. Mass comm degree. So it all made sense. Got an internship, then employed right after that. So it all worked out. Things were good. Then the brewery opened. I was like, yeah, pouring beer one day a week sounds pretty fun. So did that for 6 months, then became the taproom manager there and kind of did the marketing side and things like that. And then I did that for a couple years, then transitioned to the business manager of the brewery. So I was a little more kind of behind the scenes, paying bills, planning was a lot of it, working with our distributors. Did that up until about May of last year. And the guys that I worked for also own the building, and they own a bunch of other buildings down here. And then that led me kind of to where I'm at now. But yeah, it's been, in one capacity or another, I spent six years at the brewery.
Yeah, it's hard for me not to think about you when I think about that. And of course, Ballad Brewing is in Danville, Virginia. That's where you live. You're not from Danville.
No, I'm from Grayson County.
And how did you end up in Danville? Was it the radio job?
No, it was my wife. So she and I met at Emory, and she had gotten a job back here. So when I graduated, it was kind of like, well, we'll go that way, see what happens. And I got really lucky and got an internship in Danville at one of the two radio stations that are in town. And then that led to employment, and we've been here ever since and don't plan on leaving. So
that's awesome. Well, maybe we ought to make a quick pitch for Danville then, because you know, I don't always get there very often. I haven't been there for a long time. Tell us why you like Danville so much.
Yeah, it's honestly crazy. It's such a cool time to be here right now because of the revitalization efforts that are happening. You know, when I moved here in 2014, right after graduation, I think it was like the year after or a couple years after, the city had a record high in homicides. I mean, it was not good. It's an old mill town that the mill left, and kind of, you know, things just fell into disrepair. Matter of fact, the office that I'm sitting in, the brewery that I worked at, none of this in this area existed when the buildings existed, but nothing was happening in them when I moved here. And my wife even said, Lauren was like, yeah, we didn't go downtown when we were growing up. That was not a place you went, and now it's the happening place. I mean, there's barbershops, tattoo shops, coffee shops, restaurants, breweries, a golf simulator bar. There's all kinds a science center. I mean, there's all kinds of different things that are happening just, and that's just in the downtown. The kind of neat thing now is the downtown is almost what they consider fully revitalized. Most of the buildings are either completed in process or have a plan. Now they're starting to expand a little bit into some other areas of the city. And a big one that I'm sure everyone's heard of is Caesars. That's the casino that Danville got, similar to, you know, how Bristol got one. This one, though, they took one of the old mill sites and are building in that same area. It's going to be a really big, big thing. That's certainly the draw right now. And I think it's going to be very important for the city. But what's been cool and why we enjoy Danville is kind of what's happened with the historic revitalization, the renovations. There's a massive building that another company's doing just down from us that's, I mean, going to be huge. Water parks coming to town just off the river. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. We've got two minor league baseball teams. Danville's always had one. It used to be the Braves, and then when COVID hit, you know, the Major League Baseball kind of changed up how they did their minors. So we got a Collegiate Woodbat League team that is the Otterbots. That was in 21, I believe I'm saying that right. And then like 2 weeks ago, I think they announced we got a second one that's in a different league. Similar setup, but kind of different. But yeah, so things are happening. It's a great place to be. And another big thing, as I continue my pitch, we're close to a lot of stuff. We're probably 2 hours, 45 minutes from Emory. We're an hour from Greensboro. We're an hour and a half from Raleigh. We're an hour 45 from Charlotte. We're an hour from Lynchburg, hour and a half from Roanoke. So it's in a really good centrally located spot. You can be at the beach in 4 hours, or you can be back in the mountains in a couple. So
yeah. What happened? I mean, what made such a turnaround? How did it go from a sort of a dying town with a lot of bad crime to this? What happened? What changed?
I think it was a lot of very forward thinking and a lot of risks that were definitely not popular at the time. The city government is due a good amount of credit because they kind of started pursuing this and actually took a trip, and I'm drawing a blank on the town that they went to. It was in South Carolina. But
Was it Greenville? Because Greenville has done a huge renovation.
I think so. But they took a trip to see, because it was kind of similar. There's a river that runs through the middle of the city.
Yep.
It's a bunch of old historic buildings and kind of what they did with it. So they kind of saw that, then came back and started to figure out what kind of would happen. And it's definitely been a mix of public and private investment. But I think... I'm certainly biased, but the guys that I work for are pretty instrumental in it too. You know, they were one of the first, if not the first, to kind of take a little bit of a risk, I guess a very calculated risk, but definitely at the time it was kind of like, why are you doing that to that building? And now it makes a ton of sense. I mean, that the building I'm in was their first project, and they finished that right about the time I actually moved to Danville. And I mean, since then, I think they've done 7 or 8 buildings, and we're working on another one with more in the pipeline.
Why were some of the early decisions unpopular? Just did people just not believe it was going to work?
Yeah. I mean, you've got these thousands and thousands of square foot warehouses that were built in some of the late 1800s, early 1900s, you know, so the layouts are kind of different. They had been abandoned for, you know, some 30 years in certain cases. So it was a lot of, and also it was one of those, why that area? Why not this area? Because Danville as a city geographically is pretty spaced out. It's not a big city, but it's bigger than it seems. It's just so spread out that the population is spread out a little more, I think, than certain places. And it doesn't feel as big because of that.
Yeah.
So I think it was a lot of the city was in such disrepair. They had to pick somewhere to start.
Right.
And everyone's going to have an opinion on where that is. Now, my whole thing, even when I was at the radio station and was seeing what was happening, you know, here and wasn't involved with it at that point, but it was very much a case of, you got to start in what you're going to consider the heartbeat of the city. And if you, and that's the downtown, right? So if you can get your downtown thriving, the thought, the hope is that if you think of it as a heart, that it's going to pump that blood out. And we're starting to see that. I'm actually a board member for the River District Association, and mainly focusing on the River District, which is the downtown. But now we're shifting our focus a little bit. I don't want to say completely, because we're still worried about downtown and focused on that. But across the river is what they call the North Main Corridor. It's a half mile across a bridge and up a hill, but it's kind of been identified as maybe one of the next spaces. So we're starting to see that effect of the downtown's been handled, and now we can focus on other things.
Yeah. Well, and are people starting to get excited about it, even though maybe initially it was like, well, what are we doing? Now are they kind of going, oh, look, this is kind of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really funny. Just to see kind of the city and how things just continue to change, and even the mindset. One thing that when I was at the brewery that we had to focus on a lot was there was this mindset of, you didn't cross the river, and we're on the other side of the river. You know, the city's split by a river. Well, there was one side that you went to, and the other side you didn't go across the river.
That's so funny.
So we're still, I think, a little bit trying to convince people, now you do cross and you do go downtown. It's good. And we're starting to see that. I think one knock, too, was everyone thought, oh, well, it's all young people down there. It's all just millennials, you know, and that's really not the case. I'd say there's a good portion of millennials down here, and you see them a lot. But, you know, there's a lot of people who've retired, and they want to live kind of in the city, but not in some big bustling, you know, say Charlotte, for example, downtown. Right. But they want to be able to walk and get coffee, or walk and get their hair cut, or, you know, whatever. So they downsize, they live in a loft apartment and love it.
That's neat.
But yes, I think there's a lot of reasons, as to why. I also think this city had gotten so used to being in such disrepair that having it come back, it's almost like, and I think come back pretty quickly when you consider it's been 10 years. Then there's been a lot of moves. So I can talk about that one forever. There's been a big one, but.
Well, this makes me happy though. And I just interviewed Amanda Gray, who does tourism for that area. And she was talking about, you know, people coming to visit places like Danville now. And I don't think it has always been a destination spot, but you're seeing tourists and visitors.
Yeah, definitely. And you see, you know, it's one of those things you hope that it happens overnight, but it doesn't. It takes time. And especially before I left the brewery, we started to see it more. You know, I would always joke, one of my favorite times to work was a Sunday afternoon. Yeah, it was slow. It wasn't like the busy Friday night. But what was cool is you had people that were coming and they were traveling. And what happened is we went from being the place that people would be passing through from point A to point B. So like I said, we're so close to a lot of cities. People going from Lynchburg to Greensboro are going to pass by. So we would see them come in. They're like, oh, yeah, we're passing through. Well, then what started to happen is it was people, yeah, we've been in town all weekend. I'm going to grab some stuff and take it with me. Or they come in on Saturday and they're like, yeah, we're actually visiting. We're at VIR, the racetrack down the road, or we're in Martinsville for the race. We started to kind of see that. And it was a pretty cool transition. We still got the people passing through, but yeah, it was neat to see the ones who were like, no, we came here because we wanted a weekend away, or, you know, whatever.
Well, it's fun to watch some of these towns come back. I had some friends who they sent me a picture from their anniversary getaway to Farmville, and I was like, are you kidding me? You went to Farmville for the weekend? And she was like, let me tell you about Farmville. So, you know, it is exciting to see some of these little places coming back and being really kind of hip and fun.
Yeah, for sure. It's funny you mentioned Farmville, because the guys I work for have done a project there. So Farmville, similarly to Danville, is coming back around.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what you're doing now. But let me first remind everyone that we're speaking today with Austin Bunn, or as I've been calling him, Mr. Danville, because he's gone from Grayson County to Danville to make his home. And he's doing some neat stuff there. He's been involved in part of the revitalization of Danville, I would say. And now he's physically sort of involved in some of that revitalization. Let's talk about what you're doing now with some of those old buildings.
Yeah. So, and the guys that I work with would tell you I'm not doing much physical stuff. not compared to what they're doing, that's for sure. But I'm the operations manager for a company called AOS Ventures. We're AOS itself is a pretty small company. We have two employees. It's me and our construction superintendent. But then the guys that own AOS also have a lot of different LLCs, and that's kind of where all of the projects come into play in our buildings. We have completed, I need to count again, I always lose tracks, 3, 4, 5, 6. If my math is right, there's 7 buildings that we've completed. It's about 500 commercial units, or I'm sorry, 500 residential units, so apartments, with some commercial units in each space. And each one kind of varies. Some buildings may have multiple, some may have one.
When you say you've completed a building, what does that mean? Are these old buildings that you're renovating?
Yep. So AOS specializes in historic tax credit renovations. So we, most of the time, will pursue buildings that we can work with the tax credit program that the state offers and revitalize those buildings. And when you do it through that, yeah, there's a lot of hoops that you have to jump through with the program, but it is helpful because then you do get the tax credits. But it's sometimes it seems like things that you're like, you can't do that, but there's a reason. They want the building to stay as historically accurate as possible. So, like, for instance, if you replace some flooring, it has to be very similar. So a lot of times what we'll do is if we're removing floor from another spot, we'll save what we can and maybe put it back in the other place.
Oh, that's cool.
Sometimes painting different paints, you can't put paint on this spot or that spot. So, we mainly do those. That's not to say we don't do other buildings. Some that we've kind of discussed that we could pursue it, but we may not, because sometimes it's easier, sometimes it's not. It just kind of varies. But we're in the middle of doing a really, probably the biggest one we've done, and especially in terms of square footage. And I don't have that number off the top of my head, mainly because the building is so massive. We're doing it in phases. It's an entire city block.
Whoa.
It's one building. Yeah, it was the Imperial, I believe I'm saying this right, the Imperial Tobacco Company owned it, and it was built in pieces in the early 1900s. They kind of built one side, built the other side, then connected them in the middle. But we're in the process of adding, I think it's going to be like 120 more units between those two.
Like apartment units?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, and isn't it kind of, I mean, this kind of speaks to my issues of conservation, that you're not just tearing stuff down and building something new. You're taking what's there and renovating it.
Correct. Yeah. And then there's some buildings, and this is when it does sometimes get tricky. You know, that some buildings that we look at or that we want to do, there's a great example of one. It's actually just around the corner from where I'm sitting now, but the beautiful building, but the way it's laid out, it's a big box with a lot of columns in it. And the way the columns are laid out isn't ideal for apartments. There's only like 10 windows in the entire building, and it's hundreds of thousands of square foot. It was a warehouse. It wasn't meant to have those, right? For example, we can't do that building with tax credits because they don't want us to put windows in.
Mm.
So, you know, there does come that point where you go, well, what do we do with it? Because you don't want to tear it down, but then you don't want it to sit there completely empty either. And now Danville has a whole process. Anything you do in the district has to go through a design commission, something as drastic as doing that or something as simple as putting a sign up.
Yeah.
Which is good because it keeps everything kind of uniform, and that's their responsibility.
Were most of the buildings built around the same time?
Yeah, for the most part, it's a lot of old either tobacco warehouses or textile or both. Because I mentioned the mill, and that Dan River Fabrics was huge.
Sure.
And then, but the tobacco industry was another major, major asset to Danville. So a lot of these buildings were one or the other, or both, I should say, too. Yeah, a lot of them built, the oldest ones are late 1800s, but a lot of them are early 1900s to maybe getting close to mid.
So overall, the construction was probably sound. Is it like pretty architecture? Is it the kind of thing that you're like, oh, this is a cool building, let's make sure we don't lose it?
Yeah, they're really just beautiful buildings. And you talk about sturdy. Sometimes these walls are 24 inches thick and it's solid brick.
Wow.
I mean, and they built them in a way, for instance, the way the brewery was, and a lot of these, you know, if a thing caught fire, they needed to shut it off from the rest of the building. So there's a lot of these big, cool metal doors that were the fire doors. So it really is neat, and it's cool to work the guys that I work for. They've been doing this for a long time, and to watch and see how they kind of come up with a concept or an idea for a space that you're like, that makes a lot of sense, but where did that come from?
Who are these guys? Are they Danville natives, or have they come in from somewhere else?
No, so they're from Richmond, and they had done projects like this various places. And then I forget who approached who about doing a project in Danville. And they did the one, and like I said, they did not plan on doing as many as they have, but they saw the need.
But it's going well.
So.
And how does this spill over into, because Danville and Martinsville, in my mind, are always almost like the same place. Does this spill over into Martinsville and help them too?
I think some, but not as much. Martinsville still is. I think there's definitely some good momentum in Martinsville. They're a few steps behind, maybe.
Sure.
And I don't say that to be negative. There's a lot of good things happening. Martinsville's just a little bit smaller. And I think part of it too is without the downtown and the historic aspects of these buildings. And I think that's one area that Martinsville just doesn't have as many of those assets.
Right.
But they're starting to make some moves, and the racetrack out there obviously is a big help.
Sure.
But yeah, their downtown is starting to actually be really cool as well.
Oh, that's awesome. All right. So if people are thinking about visiting Danville, for instance, I might be driving through in a couple of weeks. And so what would you tell me that I've got to do while I'm downtown?
Yeah. Well, if you just drive down Bridge Street is a cool street. That's actually the street that my office is in. We've done, let's say, three buildings on that street. One touches it from the other side, but it's a cobblestone street, so it's really pretty.
Really?
Averett University did a building down here and has some offices, and their building's really pretty. But yeah, but Danville, it really has become a really cool spot. It depends on what time of year you're coming through.
Okay.
I definitely recommend, if you want to get coffee and breakfast, Link's is a coffee shop that's in downtown. Super good coffee, good food. Another place for lunch or dinner is Mies. It's a book themed burger, like craft burger place.
Yay.
So all of their burgers are named after different artists and stuff. Yeah.
Authors, I should say. That's fun.
Yeah. And then the brewery obviously will always hold a special place for me. It's called Ballad Brewing. There's another great brewery called Two Witches, and they also make wine. And they have a huge outdoor space. They're not downtown, but they're not far either. The Science Center is great if you have kids. It's actually across from the brewery. They've got all kinds of hands-on exhibits and a big theater dome and stuff. And if you're coming in the summer, the baseball games are very fun. They do a really good job. And the park is technically in the city. You got to drive a little bit to get to it, but it's not bad.
Well, and we should say that on April 12, alumni will be gathering at Ballad Brewing to do Emory and Henry in the City in Danville. And so I hope that maybe a lot of folks will gather there. And maybe some people listening might think, I'm not having one in my town. I think I'll drive to Danville and spend the weekend and check out some of this cool stuff and go to E&H in the city.
Yeah, I think that sounds like a great idea.
Right? Are any of your properties like rental properties? Do you have some Airbnbs or that sort of thing?
No, we don't. All of ours are long-term rentals, and they're full, which is crazy. Yeah. And that one comes open, somebody's moving in, it's wild. But there are some Airbnbs downtown. If you're looking for a place to stay, there's, you know, hotel chains that are kind of across the river. But if you want to stay downtown area, there's a company, it's called the Bee Hotel. And it's in the old Register and Bee, the newspaper here. It's in their old building.
So Bee.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. And they revitalized it. It's super cool. Their rates are very reasonable. Like when you compare it to a chain, they're not crazy, and you can walk to everything. It's a really cool and pretty hotel. It's super
That's
unique.
Fantastic. Oh, yeah. I kind of love that. All right. Now, before I let you go, I have to ask this one last important question. What in the heck is an OtterBot?
That is a great question.
I thought so because I want a t-shirt, and I need to understand why. Why is it? What's an OtterBot?
So it's actually a really, really cool story. And I do have to give a shout out to a guy named Austin Scher, who is the GM of the OtterBots. Not from Danville either. Came here because this team started and he got hired as the GM. And he has leaned into this town so hard and is just an incredible guy. But anyways, when they came up with the name for this team, they tried to look at what the city means and kind of what they were trying to do as a baseball team. And so I mentioned the river that comes right through town. It also goes not far from the ballpark. It's right over the hill from the ballpark. So they like the otters and kind of the playful nature and the fun that, you know, otters are always, you know, swimming on their backs. And like the one in the duck pond, actually.
It was big news. Pictures. It was big
that
news.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
But so, you know, they kind of played off of that. And then the bot aspect, Danville has become a major hub with the Institute for Advanced Learning and Research for a lot of various trade trainings. They've got an incredible welding program, machining programs, but then I could spend 30 minutes and still probably miss a lot of the stuff that they do. So it's very technology driven. Hydroponics is a big thing they're working on there. So they kind of took that aspect and the science and the machining and the robots and put it with the otter. And yeah, it's one of those that when you hear it, because I'll admit the first time I heard it, I went, all right, maybe it'll grow on me. I don't know. But once you've learned that, and then when you go to a game and kind of the atmosphere that they've created, it's a really real major asset to this city. I mean, they've started book reading programs in all of the schools. They've donated baseball equipment to, I think, almost all the schools. They built the first of its kind outside of, I think, one other ballpark on the East Coast, a sensory room for parents who have kids with autism. So if some of the sights and sounds get to be overwhelming, they can kind of get in there and relax. It's a really awesome atmosphere.
That makes me feel better because I've spent a lot of time looking at that on the schedule going, I don't know, I don't get it. So that makes me feel much better.
yeah, it's a really cool thing. We try and go to at least a few games every year. They always have something for every age, even our son who's going to be 3 in a couple months. We don't sit and watch much of the game anymore.
Oh, no.
We're bounce house, but we're there.
That's fantastic. Well, I got to say, Austin, you've made me want to come see Danville. And so I'm excited to come see what you're doing. And I'm excited to see what the community's doing. I love to hear stories like this.
Yeah, please do. Come visit. Let me know.
Austin Bunn, Emory and Henry class of 2014, part of the revitalization of Danville, Virginia. We appreciate you being our guest today on the Duck Pond Wall.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And we thank everybody for listening today to WEHC-FM 90.7, WISE-FM Wise 90.5. This is the voice of Southwest Virginia.